This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
This is Nation Radio, 1227. We're around until 2 o'clock, and then it's Jungle Jim Hunter at 2 today. And then at 4 o'clock, my friend Jeff Crichel, Indy 500 tomorrow, right here on Team 1260. And don't forget, we got the FC live broadcast tomorrow afternoon, all on Team 1260. Connor, Edmonton Oil Kings, what a year.
Awesome year.
Incredible. You know, the games that I went to, they were great hockey, terrific defense, this Lazar kid. Looking forward to next year, too. It's going to be a great year.
I'm really looking forward to see Henrik Samuelsson play a whole year.
Yeah.
The way he played that goal in the game against Shewinigan.
Yeah.
He's got some hands.
Well, you know, and he's big, too. Like, he's not a... I wonder if he's going to end up going in the first round. It'll be interesting.
I think so. I think he jumps up.
Yeah, could be. All right, we're joined now by Kent Wilson from... he's the nation's overlord. And he's also the big kahuna behind NHL Numbers, which is the number one growth website on the internet. Kent is a fan of the Calgary Flames. Well, at least he follows the Calgary Flames. He may no longer be a fan of the team because of recent performances dating back to 1989. But he joins us now live from Calgary, and we're very appreciative. Kent, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Good. Did you like your intro music?
Yeah, I was going to say, is that my new intro?
Well, you're nation's overlord, so I just expect you to jump up on a rock with some kind of sword and take off somebody's head, but please don't. I read your considerable online assessments of Brent Sutter as a coach, but for Oiler fans who haven't, give me a kind of a thumbnail sketch of how he performed, what you thought he'd do, and what he accomplished, and whether or not he'd be a good fit here.
Well, one thing I can say about Brent Sutter is he really prefers going power on power, meaning matching, you know, the big guns against the other team's best players, which was a strategy that did not work out for him here in Calgary, especially this last year, where I think some of it had to do with necessity. The Flames suffered a lot of injuries to the sort of the bottom half of the roster. Most of their veterans were out for lengthy periods of time, so he didn't have much of a choice but to send out the more expensive guys out against other people's top lines. The problem for the Flames is they don't have capable two-way players like in that portion of the roster. Jerome Iginla can still score goals. He's still dangerous from the slot, but he's 35 years old, and he is just not a guy who can do that sort of heavy lifting anymore. They tried to convert Olli Jokinen into a capable two-way center, and the guy did as much as he could. He simplified his game to some degree, but he's not Frans Nielsen, and he's not Patrice Bergeron. He never will be. And that's something that Brent Sutter really struggled with in Calgary. He kind of tried to have a number of leopards change their spots, and it just wasn't going to happen. So if he does land in Edmonton, it'll be interesting to see what he does with your young players. They may get to a point where they can go power on power pretty sooner rather than later, but I know last year Tom Rennie had to shelter them a bit.
I think Hall's the only guy we could even stretch to assume sometime in the next, you know, 12 to 15 months who could do that. Would I be incorrect in saying that?
No, that sounds about right, although I'm a big Jordan Eberle fan as well. He always impresses me when I watch him. I know he's not at that level yet, but it wouldn't surprise me if within the next year or two he makes that jump.
The Flames did seem to develop a few unexpected young roster players under Sutter's watch. Is that correct, or is that just my failing memory?
Well, Michael Backlund sort of came along in his apprenticeship. His scoring dried up last year for a number of reasons, injuries and really bad luck, to tell you the truth. But he did develop into a guy who can play the game at both ends of the ice. He had one of the best possession rates on the team, and he faced top six opposition last year and started more often in the defensive zone. So that might be the best success Brent Sutter can claim. TJ Brody made a bit of a jump last year, but not much else otherwise.
This is the money question. This will tell me whether or not he's a good coach to come here. Would you personally be upset if Sutter was named head coach of the Oilers?
No.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
We have our answer. Let's move on. Let's move on to the Calgary Flames. Drafting has been improving of late, and Sven Barchi is the crown jewel there. Do you sense a change in direction from the scouting staff and possibly, and I'll put it nicely and say, where skill is king in terms of at least the first round pick?
I'm hoping that's the direction they're going. Last year they get Barchi. They also had Marcus Granlund in the second round, and he's more skilled than strength. And then Johnny Gaudreau was in about the fourth round, I believe, and he's the smallest player the Flames have ever picked, and he had an excellent year in college his first season. So that said, you know, one data point isn't a trend. We're going to see what they do this summer.
Any indications about a new coach or plans there, or are you hearing any rumored names?
Mike Sullivan has started to pop up. He used to actually play for the Flames way back when. He's currently the assistant coach for the New York Rangers, and he coached the Boston Bruins. And I think he has some connection with Feaster in the past, so that's a name that's starting to make more sense. A
couple of questions from Cameron. John Davidson's rumor out there that he may be coming to Calgary in some capacity. Is that a real rumor, or is that something that's been fabricated on the internet?
Well, it came from Andy Strickland, who is pretty plugged in the St. Louis market, and he doesn't strike me as a guy who makes up random stuff very often. So it could be a real rumor. John Davidson does have some roots in Calgary as well, so it would definitely be interesting if they were able to land him.
I remember he played goal for the Centennials 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think Nystrom was on that team, and maybe Danny Gare, but I'm not sure. Would he be in the Ken King role, or is that just me making stuff up?
What Andy said is that they would bring in Davidson as the president of hockey, of the hockey side, and then sort of move Ken King into more of a business-focused area. As you know, the Flames have bought up pretty much every sort of major sports team in the city, and they've sort of got Ken King heading all of them as a Uber president. So I'm guessing his plate is becoming pretty full.
Another one from Cameron. What are the biggest holes on the Flames roster right now and moving forward?
Well, I actually wrote about this a couple of weeks ago. I called it the Flames roster hole. They don't have anyone in the sort of 24 to 28-year-old area on their team who is, you know, anything beyond a fringe player. They have Michael Backlund, who's going to be 23 this year and looks like he might be able to carry some mail at even strength. But after that, pretty much all the guys they expect to score or to play significant minutes are 30 years old or even older than that. So you can see why the Flames are on a downward trend, because they don't have anyone who's a significant contributor in or approaching their peak.
You know, it's funny you say 28, and that's old for the Oilers roster. So it just goes to show you how different these two rosters are. Let's talk about the Stanley Cup final. I'm curious about the matchup, because as I see things, the Kings are the superior team based on all kinds of things long term. We know a short series can sometimes, you know, make luck a big factor. Am I wrong in saying the Kings should be favorites here?
No, I certainly consider them favorites. I mean, the only thing I got right in terms of predicting anything in the playoffs was choosing the Kings pretty consistently, and that's who I'm going to choose in the final as well. But as you say, it's been a wacky postseason, so who knows what's going to happen.
I don't remember, and I guess it's because of the fact that all the teams are within, you know, arm's reach of everybody, that there's no real strong number one, you know, Oiler, Islander, Montreal Canadiens kind of strong team. They're all so similar, but I'm shocked that the Rangers, they didn't deserve to win any of the games that I saw. The Devils were toying with them.
Yeah, I mean, some of that could be attrition and fatigue, but the Rangers were actually, for most of the season, a pretty mediocre club in terms of controlling the play and getting the puck into the offensive zone. They had a sort of a brief stint in the later part of the year where they were just marginally over 50% in terms of total possession at even strength, but most of the time they were sort of surfing under that and riding stuff like maybe good power play or mostly Henrik Lundqvist stopping everything.
For Oiler fans, there's ex-Oilers all over the Kings roster, from Dustin Penner to Matt Green to Jarrett Stoll, and on it goes. And for the New Jersey Devils, there's a few ex-Oilers. Sikora is one, and Sestito, and then also Zach Parise should have been an Oiler. How about Flames? Are there any Flames in the game?
Daryl Sutter?
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting one, too, because here's a guy, you know, honestly, and it's kind of funny, but that's a guy who was on the outskirts of hockey for a while. He wasn't speaking to anybody, and his reputation had been, I think, somewhat, you know, tarnished by the way he left Calgary and the situation and the things that we heard. But you talk about a guy who's turned it around and is back on top. He looks like a genius right now.
He does, and it's sort of the same thing that happened when he first arrived in Calgary, although he hadn't been unemployed very long at that time. But yeah, he arrives in Calgary, he turns the team completely around as the coach. They go to the Stanley Cup final. It's kind of eerie.
Even his interviews are positive. Have you noticed that? Like, I've never seen him more positive than the last, say, 2 months.
It's pretty surprising to see him not grinding down on the media, but we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, good point. I heard a rumor yesterday that Luongo was on his way to Toronto. It came from Incarcerated Bob. I don't know if anybody who knows who that is, but he's a guy who sometimes gets things right. That makes a little sense, right?
It certainly does. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Brian Burke makes that sort of pitch. Just, I mean, the Leafs have struggled with mediocre or worse goaltending for a very long time. I don't know who, maybe Belfour or Joseph was the last.
Paul Mateer.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, the contract, people do have to worry about that to some degree. It's very long, gets pretty expensive, but there's no question that Luongo would solve a lot of problems by going to Toronto.
I always enjoy NHL numbers. I'm amazed at the quality of, I know the reputation of everybody there, but the quality of work over there is very impressive. So far, what's the reaction been? Are you getting a lot of positive reaction to the NHL numbers site and the great articles that are going up?
It seems to be positive. We haven't established, unlike Oilers Nation, we haven't established a core comment group yet. It seems to be people dropping in, reading, and not really participating. But I'm pleased with what we've put out so far, and I think if we continue doing that, we'll keep building some momentum.
I'll start asking questions, but you have to promise to take it easy on me.
That's right.
Kent, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
All right. That's Kent Wilson's Nation's Overlord, an NHL numbers guru, and interesting conversation there about the Calgary Flames. Some rumors there. Mike Sullivan? Possible head coach and a few things that they might want to accomplish at the draft. And we got some insight, I think, into Brent Sutter, you know, power v. power coach on the Edmonton Oilers. The zone starts, the difficult ones belong to Sean Horkoff and Eric Bélanger, along with Ryan Smith and Jones and maybe Pajarvi last year, if I'm correct. And then the push as far as, you know, tough opposition went Horkoff, Hemsky, and Smith, I believe. But then the secondary toughs were the kids, and that's a lot of line matching from the other side. Taylor Hall's line was stirring the drink most of the year last year, and you can't avoid that with these young players because, you know, they're pretty darn good, and they were absolutely driving the bus a lot offensively last year, especially at 5x4. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was a witch on the power play, and, you know, let's hope that continues too. And with another gunner, Yakupov, possibly coming along, well, it's going to be a really, really fun team to watch. Not that they weren't this past year, but they're going to fill up your PVR with 8-1 games and 8-3 games here. That's my prediction. It's 12:40. Corey Graham from the Edmonton Oil Kings play-by-play. What a great run that was. We're going to talk to him before the top of the hour and also in hour two. Jim Byers, Kirk Ludicky from Redline Report, and we'll also talk to Peter Labardius. This is Nation Radio brought to you by Edmonton Motors.